from the Star Rentals Sports Desk. Your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a beautiful Thursday afternoon right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
You're looking for tickets for opening day for tomorrow. VenueKings.com has your tickets. $37 gets you in the door right now at VenueKings.com. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little bit of a discount. All right, what do we got? Big news. The CONCACAF Champions League. The Sounders moving on to the final, baby, against Pumas in Liga MX out of Mexico City. They will play Leg 1 in Mexico on April 27th, Leg 2 at Lumen Field on Star Wars Day on the 4th of May. And again, don't forget, no MLS Cup team has ever won the CONCACAF Champions League tournament ever.
Jared Kelenic, a dinger. Cal Raleigh with a dinger. Mitch Haniger with a dinger.
Ooh.
And Logan Gilbert, fantastic five innings of work, allowing zero earned runs in a Mariner 5-1 win over the White Sox.
NBA basketball, the play-in games apparently start right now, not 4:30, like ESPN told us on their website. Hawks and Cavaliers in that one game in the East. The winner gets Miami in the first round. In the West, the Pelicans and Clippers. The winner's reward, you get to play Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns. Good luck.
Ooh, yikes. Cardinals reach an agreement, one-year deal with wide receiver A.J. Green, and the Seahawks expected to sign Geno Smith, one-year deal worth about $4 million, as much as $7 million with incentives.
And Sammy Watkins has signed a contract with the Green Bay Packers. Kraken have the next two nights off. They are home against the Devils on Saturday at 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame right here on KJR. Let's get to baseball with Booney, courtesy of Venue Kings, right now.
Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. It's time for our weekly conversation with former Mariners All-Star Brett Boone. Brought to you by Venue Kings. Visit VenueKings.com for all your ticket needs. Now with Booney, here's Softy and Dick.
You know, this is a badass open we got together here. Mark Rochelle did a really good job with that one. That's a... What do they do in radio? They like do Emmys in radio or Grammys or
Soundies.
Oscars? Soundies, whatever. Yeah. That's got to be up for a damn award. Well, VenueKings.com has tickets for the opener. Sold out at the box office, but not at VenueKings.com. Get in the door for under $40 for the Astros game tomorrow. Use code Softy at checkout for a discount. Here he is, courtesy of our friends at VenueKings.com. Brett Boone with us on the air. How are you, pal?
I'm doing good. What's up? Dick, I hear you're back from vacation. How long were you gone?
10. This seems to be a theme of the day.
And by the way, I did not, I swear to God, put him up to this.
I spent 3 days in Disneyland and 7 days in Palm Springs. So 10 days overall.
Oh, that ain't bad.
Not bad.
That's a pretty good vacation.
I would suspect you earned it.
He has earned it. Sitting next to me, he's earned it for sure. Well, let's talk about Jared Kelenic. You and I were texting back and forth the other day after his golden sombrero day, and then Scott Servais gives the guy the day off yesterday, and what happens? He goes 2-for-4 with a bomb against the White Sox today. Give us your overall view on Jared Kelenic, man.
Kelenic is, you know, when I look at Kelenic, it reminds me of when I was coming up, and there's a lot of expectations. He zipped through the minor leagues, had a lot of fanfare coming to the big leagues, and this kid wants to do so good so bad. And sometimes, man, the big leagues is just, it's really hard to hit in the big leagues. You come here, he probably expected to have instant success. And that doesn't always happen. I remember I got to the big leagues and I thought, oh, I'm, you know, my hair's on fire and I'm ready to go. And a month and a half later, I'm sitting in my locker having a beer, looking at my buddy going, this is really tough. And he kind of gave me the no kidding. And you got to make an adjustment. I mean, this is a game of learning and you got to learn. I remember Edgar Martinez came up to me and said, Booney, you got to start hitting that breaking pitch. He goes, as soon as you do that, then you'll get the fastballs that you want. I've been watching the game, Softy, and what I'm seeing with Kelenic and the young kid that they called up, Rodriguez.
Yep.
They're really going to test these guys with the off speed. I think the layman's thought process from a young player coming up, I know I thought this way, is when I first got to the big leagues, hey, I'm some turd coming up from the minor leagues. Nobody cares about me. Well, I'll tell you what, it's exactly the opposite. Big league pitchers say, okay, this guy's coming to the big leagues. He's a big prospect. I know he can hit the fastball. So I'm going to see if he can hit the breaking ball. And that's what I'm seeing these guys do. They're getting a steady diet of them, and they've got to start hitting the breaking ball, get to the fastball, get comfortable. It was really good to see Kelenic hit that home run today. I saw it. He smoked it. He needed something like that. Coming off four punch outs last year, not living up to what he thought he should be as a player last year. He wants to do so well. That was a big day for him today, big win for the Mariners today.
And he mentioned after the game, he said he's just been thinking too much. So how would you counsel him not to think so much and just see the ball hit the ball?
The results, Dick, are going to be the biggest measure for him, the biggest way to relax. You got to be able to relax. I remember, I'll give you another story. It was Griffey and myself. We were the same age. Kenny had 3 years in the big leagues when I got there. And he used to pull me aside, not in front of everybody, but, you know, when the lights were off and we were off in the clubhouse, he'd come to me and try to calm me down and say, hey, you got to relax. It's going to come. You can't do it all in one day. And it's just a process. We all go through it. Some guys get to the big leagues, and from day one, they're a big leaguer. Some of us, there's a process. We've got to have a little bit of success. Our brains get a little bit of confidence. We can move on. These guys are both really good talents. They got off the slow starts, and they're just going to start. They're going to be tested by these big league pitchers. I'm telling you, you got to start hitting the off speed. As soon as they see that you can handle the off speed, you're going to get some fastballs to hit. But until then, you're going to get a steady diet of it. Both of these guys will learn. The talent's there.
Right. Well, here's the crazy thing, Brett. And Brett Boone with us every Thursday at 5 o'clock, courtesy of VenueKings.com. Then Kelenic is trying to bounce back from last year, which, as you said, outside of a decent September, did not go well for him. And then Julio Rodriguez makes his debut, and they do it in the freezing cold of Minneapolis and the pissing rain of Chicago. Are you kidding me, Brett?
I'll tell you, I watched it. How about that game today? I've never seen an inning like that. I mean, I've been in Chicago when it was windy like that, but I've never seen three balls in one inning. And what I was really impressed about today's game is the poise that Gilbert showed. I mean, this kid has done an unbelievable job his first two starts. That's one of my big points coming in. What a job he's done in his first two starts, kind of taking the bull, you know, by the horns and saying, I'm here. Gilbert's been really impressed. Actually really surprised me how impressive he's been. His demeanor's been awesome. That game today, that's how it gets in Chicago. Sometimes in April, sometimes in late September, it can be that way too. That wind's causing havoc. But the bottom line is they got out of there with a win today. That White Sox team's a really good team.
Well, then yesterday, Robbie Ray says he's never pitched at any level in worse weather than he pitched yesterday. I mean, should they have even played that game? And try to remember the worst weather you were ever made to play in by a home plate umpire.
I played in Colorado with snow actually on the field. I remember some cold days at Wrigley. And what's so bad about Chicago is that wind kicks up. It's not the actual cold, but you add that wind to it, and it's ridiculous. Yeah, they should have played. Ask the White Sox if they should have played it. They got the win. Of course they should have played it. I mean, these are things that it's the umpire's call. You know, it got to a point I was watching on TV. I can't really, unless you're actually there, you can't really feel what the players are feeling. But they got through it, you know, especially with the late start in the season, with the lockout. There's a lot of pressure to get all these games in, so they're probably going to push it to the brink.
Right. Hey, Brett Boone is with us. I want to ask your opinion on a question as a podcast superstar host that you are. Brett's got a podcast he puts out every week, courtesy of DraftKings, by the way, so I want to ask you about that in a minute. But you mentioned Logan Gilbert, and I don't know, man, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. I think this guy's a star. I think he might be an all-star right now this season. I think his stuff is filthy. I think he is going to be a number one starter in somebody's rotation, hopefully ours, very, very soon.
Well, we talked about him last year, Softy, and I said he needed a little more time. He needed a little more time to get control of his off-speed pitches and locate him a little bit better. These first two starts, it's the biggest pleasant surprise for me. I didn't expect this early. And just the way he handled it today, he had that 2-0 lead. He had three drop pop-ups in an inning, got an unearned run, got out of there with a big punch-out in a 2-1 game. Mariners added on for him. He ended up, I think he got the win today. But just I look a lot at these players. I look at their demeanor. I look at their body language. I look at how they carry themselves. He looked different to me today than he did a year ago when he got his first call up for Seattle. Mm. I'm really impressed by that. The brash kid, equally impressed. I was texting you about him. Man, this guy just looks like, give me the ball. I've been here. Let's go. And I'll tell you, he's got that quick arm like a Brett Saberhagen where you can't pick it up if you're the opposition. The only thing, my only critique for Brash, and it's tough to critique a kid, it's his major league debut, late in the game, he just got a little bit predictable with that breaking ball. And big league hitters, especially a lineup like the White Sox, they're going to be sitting on that breaking ball by that third time through the lineup. He got a little predictable for me. He's got to mix in that fastball. Fastball's still the best pitch in the game located. But, man, another real bright spot. I didn't expect those type of performances out of Brash and Gilbert this early. Robbie Ray's going to be fine. He gave up four home runs in his first two starts. First start was a good one. Yesterday, he just didn't have his good stuff. Real good hitting lineup. He's a bulldog. He's going to be great. And I'll tell you who's really impressing me right now, just that leadership on the field and the quality AB after quality AB is the Crawford kid at short. This guy reminds me of a young Jimmy Rollins. He's going to be a really good player.
Wow. Well, they went with him instead of all the big-name shortstops that were out there in free agency. Brett Boone joining us. You know, Booney, Julio Rodriguez has been getting really squeezed up there. I mean, the opposite of squeeze for a hitter. I mean, the strike zone is enormous. He has struck out four times on documented balls, either inside by a couple inches or outside by a couple inches. Is that just... I mean, does that happen to a lot of youngsters where the umps will just say, hey, you're a kid, we're going to expand the strike zone on you, make it tough, or is just bad luck for him?
Well, I think when I was coming up to the big leagues, without a doubt, there's been a lot that's changed since 1992. As far as with the umpires union, they're monitored pretty heavily right now. Back in the day when it was the boys club, they were gonna send a message to a young player. And I definitely was on the wrong end of that quite a few times when I first got to the big leagues. I think it's a little bit different now. They're so closely monitored. They're not going to do that because they're going to be critiqued every day with all these stats and all this data and all this video. It's too tough to just teach a young kid a lesson. So I think it's more of bad luck right now. And it seems when you're young, you're struggling. You know, he's struggling to get some hits right now. I think he only has one on the season. It seems to go that way when you're going bad, and when he flips the switch and starts getting a couple hits, it'll probably even out. I think it's more bad luck right now than the umpires really sticking it to.
How about robo cops, robo umpires behind home plate? Are you a fan? Not a fan? What's your take?
Please, no. Now, I think baseball. I think we're trying to change too many things. You know, the bigger base that cracked me up. That was a great one. Actually, I like it as a hitter. I'm an inch closer to first base, and when I get to first, I'm an inch closer to second base, so that's an advantage for me. I want to keep it as pure as we can. I mean, we've changed a lot of rules. I understand we're going forward. It's 2022, of course. Let's change with the times a little bit, but let's keep it as pure as we can. You start messing with RoboCops behind home plate. I love the human element. That's a part of the game. It always has been. I don't want the RoboCops.
The offense was anemic last year. It should be better with three additions plus Julio Rodriguez this year, but it's not yet. Are you seeing poor at-bats, or are you seeing more weather-related, cold, nasty, wet, and that's more of the reason why they're struggling?
Without a doubt, I think the latter. First week of the season, there's not a big enough sample size to see this. Here's what I see. I see France is going to be a consistent good player. Frazier's going to give you quality big league at bats. I know he hasn't been getting any hits yet. I think he's 4 for 30. He's going to be there. Suarez, 2019, this guy hit 49 home runs. He hit 30 last year, but he had the 198 average. He needs to do better that. You know you're going to get power out of Suarez. Crawford, like I said, he's my next leader, Barry Larkin, Jimmy Rollins type player on the field. Love him. Kelenic and Rodriguez, they're going to have to learn on the fly. This is going to be a lot of humble pie for him, but that's how we learn. We get our butt kicked, we get back up and do it. Haniger, kind of the leader of that ball club right now. I think you know what you're going to get. He's off to a slow start average-wise. He hit his third home run today. He's got seven ribbies. And Winker, I'm telling you, you heard it here. Winker is a really good player, all-star type player. I'm watching him right now. He's really frustrated, but he's a pro. He, like Frazier, is going to give you real quality at-bats consistently through the year. He's just off to a bad start, really frustrated right now. He's a really good player, and he's going to more than replace Seager, who retired this offseason.
Brett, Haniger is a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to be 32 in December. I would give the guy a deal now and lock him up. How about you?
I'm with you. I mean, I think this guy's done it. I think he's taken to Seattle. I think the fans have taken to him. He hit 39 home runs last year. Seems like a real big presence in that clubhouse. You got to have that guy, that veteran influence. I think Haniger's the perfect guy for it. And I think at this point in his career, he's kind of earned it in Seattle. I'd love to see that. You know, I'm not up in the front office, so I don't know, but I'm with you on that. I would sign Haniger. I think he's a key piece. You got to have a face of the organization. I mean, it's nice to say we want to make Kelenic or Rodriguez the face or a Crawford, but until they're a little more established, Haniger's already got that. He's already got that track record. He's already got that face. He's been there a while. He's kind of like a younger Seager. When Seager was coming through, Seager kind of became the face of the Seattle Mariners. I think Haniger's in that position right now. I'd love to see him get signed.
Venue Kings brings you Brett Boone each and every Thursday at 5 o'clock. And, you know, Booney will veer away from the Mariners here for the last couple minutes. Should Clayton Kershaw have been given the chance to finish that perfect game?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And it's another thing. It's this modern era. It's the 2022. It's we got pitch counts. And I'm a believer. I think if you look at the statistics, since we've had these big-time pitch counts and everybody's on a pitch count and they're exact, I think the injuries are up. You know, I'm kind of from the Nolan Ryan school. If you throw in between starts, you don't worry about pitch counts. Of course, you're not going to let them throw 200 pitches. But I think it's the way, and I was talking to Rick Griffin on the podcast recently, Softy, and he told me, he said, flat ground training in between starts is the best way to avoid injury. And nowadays they don't do that. They throw off the mound in between starts. He's a big naysayer of the pitch counts. I am as well. You got to let Clayton Kershaw get a perfect game. It's just everything, the stage. Everybody wants to see it. Yeah, that's one of the things I really don't like about today's game is sticking those pitch counts as much as they did. I mean, look at Randy Johnson back in the day. He threw 150, 160 pitches. He went out there every day, ended up getting 300 and some wins. Let's go.
Brett Boone's with us. You mentioned Nolan Ryan, man. Remember when him and Ventura went at it? And how about a celebrity boxing match for charity right now between a 75-year-old Nolan and a 54-year-old Robin Ventura? Who do you think wins that fight right now?
I think it's a laugh fest if they got the ring. I don't know. I'd have to, from what I saw in that tape, I got to go with Nolan.
Absolutely.
I love Robin. I know Robin, you know, decently just played against him for years. He didn't really want to go out there. It was just kind of, I have to go out there, and I don't know what's coming. And he got him in a headlock, giving him a noogie, like we were in middle school, and he got a hold of me at break. That's something Robin probably take back right now, but I don't know. You want me to make a pick? I'm still going to go with Nolan at this, even at his age.
By the way, July 18th of 1997, Mariners beat the Royals 5-4. Randy Johnson, complete game, 16 strikeouts and threw 155 pitches. Okay? And now we won't even let a guy finish a freaking perfect game with 80 pitches.
It's ridiculous, and everybody gets hurt all the time. Did Randy get hurt that often? I don't remember Randy being on the, IL too often.
Yeah. Well, hey, Brett, before you go, John Stanton, I believe, is going to join the radio show tomorrow. He is the owner of the Mariners. What do you want to know from John Stanton?
I want to know the question you asked me. I want to know, is Haniger in the mix? Is there a possibility of getting him signed? And I don't know how long they want to go with him. You know, he's 32 years old. He's doing a lot of DHing. He's not in that position. He's not a shortstop, second base, center field. He's got a little. He's got a little more leeway. He doesn't have that mileage on his legs that a shortstop or a center fielder would have. How long do they want to go with the contract? But I want to know if they're going to sign him. And is there any plan on getting one more pitcher for that rotation? I think that's important.
I love it. We're going to just play that for him tomorrow. We literally will take your questions and play it for John Stanton tomorrow because you are a podcast veteran now, man. Anywhere you can find your podcast, you can find Brett's podcast. Some great guests on there, courtesy of DraftKings, by the way. So check it out. All right, Booney, we'll talk in a week, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks,
pal. See you, buddy.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Brett Boone with us. We'll come back. Lots to discuss after today's victory. The Seahawks have made a move. We'll yak about that. Tell you what happened next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Your home for Seattle's best NFL draft coverage and the 2022 NFL Draft in crystal clear stereo. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
Big thanks to Booney, Brett Booney. He's going to be really good, I think, every Thursday on the radio show, courtesy of our friends at VenueKings.com. And, I mean, I had to chuckle a little bit when he talked about Randy Johnson. Randy had his own share of injuries, obviously, especially late in his Mariner career when his back wasn't right and the Mariners just said the hell with it and got rid of him. And he went to the Astros, and then he went to the Diamondbacks and became a freaking first ballot Hall of
Famer. But Boone's point is well
taken. Of course. The guys threw more pitches back then.
And I don't think there were more injuries back then than there are now.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You can do the research on that. You can tell me. I just know this, that the complete game is a thing of the past, you know, and for the most part. It's very rare now to see guys throw complete games. I'm looking at Randy Johnson's game log in 1997, and Randy Johnson had 20, let's see, he started 30 games that year. 24 he threw over 100 pitches, and half of them he threw over 120 in 1 year in 1997. That was 25 years ago. So, look, you don't got to be a freaking genius to realize that the game has changed and the idea of the complete game is a thing of the past, and it's much more likely that teams have 7 or 8-man bullpens now, and starting pitchers are lucky if they can get through 7. I mean, 7 kind of looks like the new complete game.
Well, and part of it is analytics, though, too, because Jerry DePoto is one of these guys, and I'm not saying it's not right. He wants to throw a 100-mile-an-hour guy in the sixth and 100-mile-an-hour guy in the seventh and another one in the eighth and another one in the ninth. So these hitters are facing different guys each and every inning and not facing 5 at-bats against the same pitcher.
Yeah, no, for sure. I get how guy, and it bothers me, right? It bothers me when pitchers are coddled. I know Bill Kruger has talked about that a lot over the years. It bothers guys like Boone. It bothers the old school guys. But I also think there's a whole new generation of baseball fan that is growing up to just simply put, think differently. And I don't know if it's turning kids off or not. I have no idea if it's turning off the 25-, 30-year-old baseball fan. Really, that's what baseball has to worry about, honestly, the next generation of fans. All these rule changes that they're making that drive people nuts, that drive 80-year-olds crazy because the National League has a DH and they're putting a runner on second base to start the 10th. Well, if you're 11, 12 years old and that's what you grew up with, then that's all you know. Like, the idea of the DH period is like an offense to a lot of baseball fans that are my dad's age from the 1940s and 1950s. I don't know anything different.
Right.
Besides baseball having
2 years
a DH.
Before we were born.
Doesn't bother me.
No, and I don't know. Here's an idea. You want a rule change? You want to keep starters in longer? If the starter wants to get a win, he's got to go 6 innings instead of 5.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, and that would encourage the starter to be like, no, dude, leave me in.
Especially, well, and if, look, here's the funny thing about that. They may go the other way one day and say, because starters aren't going as long, now you have to go 4 instead of going 5. You know, we talked yesterday about Baker Mayfield a lot on the program, and the Hawks went out today and gave Geno, who the hell's Geno? Maybe he's got a son named Geno who can play football. They gave Geno Smith a contract, so they got Geno, they got Locke, they got Jacob Eason, all locked up right now in their quarterback room. I saw where Warren Sharp, as of this morning, and this is obviously changed now with Geno Smith's contract, the Seahawks, as of this morning, had the cheapest quarterback room in the National Football League.
So add $4 million to that, and where are they now?
6.3, that puts them at 28th in the NFL.
Who's below them?
Yep, Houston, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. 29th, sorry. Only 3 teams. The Texans, the Eagles, and the Falcons. So they got Kyle Allen, making the most in Houston, Gardner Minshew making the most in Philadelphia, and Mariota making the most in Atlanta. Only three teams are spending less money on quarterbacks. They were at $2.3 million, which was dead last by over $2 million as of this morning before they signed Geno Smith. So does that take Baker Mayfield off the table? And, you know, a lot of comments by Baker on that YNK podcast, which nobody had ever heard of until, like, yesterday. I still have no idea who the guy is that's asking the questions, for crying out loud. But Baker Mayfield apparently had a hard time with the criticism in Cleveland and said, hey, how would you like it if I came to your place of work and criticized you?
If guys don't play ball, then bad shit happens.
Right.
Like, that's their way out.
Right.
And so when people are, like, so critical of it, it's like, these guys are, that's the way
life's
they.
Life's on the line.
I would love to show up at somebody's cubicle and just boo the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And see, and watch them crumble.
10,000 people.
No, I'm wrong.
This guy sucks.
Bad I'm wrong sale. For saying Bad that. Sale. I'm wrong for saying that.
Okay, first of all, I know he's having some fun, right? He's just goofing around for the most part, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Partly.
Well, yeah, but, and maybe he does believe that, if we, and if anybody who works at a desk, for example, a business, blah, 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 you know, an office. If you charged people to watch you work, then they have a right to be critical if they're not getting the product that they're buying. So, look, we don't charge anybody to listen to this radio show, but we take crap from people all the time. People are texting in, they're emailing, they're tweeting, blah, blah, blah. So the minute you work at a job where you charge people to watch you work at your profession, you expose yourself to things like that. And God, I hope he understands that.
If a guy at a different position wanted to say something like that, a wide receiver, a linebacker, what have you, I wouldn't care if he's on my team. It'd be fine. Big deal. I hold quarterback to a higher standard, and I know some coaches would agree with me. Mike Holmgren, I'm pretty sure, would agree with me that he holds coaches or quarterbacks to a higher standard. There is a higher level of discipline and a higher level of maturity that is required to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and I just don't believe he has it, and that's why I don't want him on this team. Yeah, not because I think he's a bad quarterback.
Yeah. No, I totally get it, and I agree with you that quarterbacks should be held to a higher standard because they make the most money, right? I mean, there's no position in sports that's more influential than the starting quarterback of a football team. I mean, look, you know, it's maybe a starting pitcher in baseball. You could potentially argue that, but there's a reason why Derek Carr, who by all accounts is a good quarterback but not an elite quarterback, is making 40 freaking million bucks a year. So they absolutely should be held to a higher standard. And I find it interesting, and this is not even Nick a commentary really on Baker Mayfield. It's a commentary on what people want out of their clientele and their fan base. It's like, you want us to follow you. You want to create these emotional social media posts where you're drumming up all this interest in the team and the brotherhood, and we're coming together as fans, and we're all taking this journey together and tears of emotion when things go well. Yet when things go poor, you're confused as to why I'm pissed off. It's like, you want the emotion when it's positive, but you don't want it when it's negative. You can't have both.
Well, and that's the thing that, I mean, we can say all we want about Russell Wilson and his voices and everything like that. Russell Wilson never did one thing to embarrass the Seattle Seahawks franchise. And Baker Mayfield has done many, many things to embarrass the Cleveland Browns franchise. And I hold that. I mean, Russell Wilson is a mature guy, and he's bringing maturity to the starting quarterback role in Denver.
Okay, let's do this. We have put a challenge out there to the audience using the new TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app. Mike Holmgren has a line about paying kids in popsicles, not millions of dollars, which we will give to you again in a second here at the start of next break. We'll do it. We can do it next break or next segment. We want people to recreate that. The best one on the TalkBack line on the iHeartRadio app. It's a new feature. Click the microphone. You can talk directly to us here in the studio. Tell us how lazy and stupid we are and how bad our takes are. Like, we don't get enough of that already, by the way. Thanks, iHeart, for setting up another venue, another avenue for
people to rip us.
People to rip our asses. So we're going to grab some off the TalkBack line. Best one's getting $50 to Taco Time. Who does the best Mike Holmgren? Fired up about paying kids in popsicles, not millions of dollars. We'll find out next. And somebody's taking home $50 to Taco Time. Coming up on Seattle's only FM sports talk station, Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
Get off our show, fair weather idiots.
All right, we're back on a busy Thursday night right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. We've made the switch to FM. Duh. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I reminded people we've made the switch to FM,
you'd retire. I wouldn't be on FM anymore.
I'd have like $700 minimum, at least. So Chuck and Buck Monday morning, 93.3. KJR FM is our new home on the FM dial. So we have also a new feature on the iHeartRadio app. They call it the TalkBack mic. There's a little microphone on the iHeart stream on the 93.3 KJR page where you can leave us messages here on the radio station. So we thought we'd get the best Mike Holmgren impression. He was on with us at 4 o'clock. He's with us every Thursday through the draft. And, well, you know the open we play for him with the line about popsicles, this one right here.
Hey, don't do that to me. Don't give me that hand. Don't do that to me.
This is what I have my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I start coaching. They can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
We want you to recreate that. And the best one's going to win $50 to Taco Time. And pretty easy, right?
Yep, just no problem.
Hit the TalkBack mic on the iHeart app, and the best one of the group is going to win $50 to our friends over at Taco Time. So you say we got a few in there, is that right? A few submissions. What do you say we see what they sound like? Jackson, hit me with contestant number one.
Don't do that to me. Don't give me that hand. Don't do that to me. My peewee players can do it better than you, and I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Hey, that guy sounds familiar.
I know that voice.
He's ineligible for a prize.
Oh,
all right.
That's
contestant
crap.
Number two.
Hey, this is Lou Piniella. Don't give me that hand. I could get peewee kids. I could pay them in popsicles instead of you professional athletes who get paid millions of dollars.
Who does he sound like? It's not Piniella.
He sounds like Dan Aykroyd from SNL.
Yes.
The toy guy. The bag of glass. Remember that skit?
Absolutely.
Jackson has no idea what I'm talking about.
Skit.
That was pretty. All right, so number two is the Lou guy. All right, number three. Go ahead.
Don't do that to me. Don't give me that freaking hand. I had kids who did it better and paid them in popsicles. Not $1 million like you rich bastards.
He took some poetic license there at the end.
Oh, I like it. All right, contestant number four.
Hey, don't do that to me. Don't give me that hand. Don't do that to me. That's what I do with my peewee Pop Warner kids, and I pay them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
I don't think Coach would appreciate that particular impression.
Who's the character that Farley played? The guy that said the... Come on.
Which movie?
Matt
Down
Foley.
By the River.
Matt Foley. That sounds like Matt Foley.
Yeah.
I pay you in popsicles and I'm moving in. All right, what's next? Go ahead.
Hey, look at me. Don't give me that hand. Don't do that to me. Look it. When I started coaching Pop Warner, my Pee Wee guys, they do it better than you do. And I pay them in popsicles. Popsicles. Not millions of dollars.
Okay,
pretty good.
Was he driving when that guy did that?
I think he was.
I think if anybody's driving, they should be ruled automatically ineligible. That's dangerous. Come on, man. What the hell's wrong with you? All right, what's next? Contestant
hey, don't do that
six.
To me. Don't raise that hand. Don't do that to me. I pay my kids popsicles and Pee Wee football. They can do this better than you guys. And I pay them in popsicles. And you guys are getting paid millions of dollars. So don't do that to me.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. All right. How about contestant number seven?
Hey, don't do that to me. Don't you give me that hand. That's what I do to my peewee football players, and I don't pay them millions of dollars. I pay them in popsicles.
That guy
Who's
sucked.
That? He was the worst.
Terrible. Absolutely awful. All right, number eight.
Hey, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Don't give me that hand. Like my little peewee guys, when I started coaching football, I used to pay them with popsicles. I used to rub them in my armpit hair and my leg hair.
What?
Not millions of dollars.
Voice sounded familiar.
That's not him, is it? Is that him?
No.
Okay, all right.
In the beginning, it kind of sounded like Shockey.
That's the armpit guy. All right, number nine, go ahead.
Don't give me that one. Don't give me the one in that hand. I want the red one. The popsicle in your other hand. I make millions.
Let's just totally change the script. I love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Why not? I mean, somewhere there's an alternate universe where Mike could have said something totally different, and it would have sounded and landed totally differently. All right, that's number nine. Number 10, hit me.
Don't do that to me. Don't give me that hand. Don't do that to me. My peewee guys, my Pop Warner guys did it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
All right, pretty
it
good.
It kind of helps when you're a little older. You know, you get the gravelly voice that more sounds like Mike Holmgren.
Well, Mike's like, he's like 72. You don't even know it, but he's getting up there, right?
Well, yeah, but when he said that, he was, what?
12.
Late 50s, probably, but still.
Exactly. All right, that's number 11 or number 12, whatever the hell, doesn't matter. Give me the next one.
No, no, don't give me that. Hey, softy, I pay you in popsicles.
Okay. All right.
You know what? That's a drop. If anything, that's a drop right there. I want that on my wall. All right, next one. Go ahead.
I paid my Pop Warner guys in popsicles. Now I'm paying you guys millions of dollars. You guys are losers.
You know who that sounded like?
Who's that?
John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah,
when he
totally.
Said, you guys are losers.
By the way, have you started watching that
I
winning
have.
Time?
I'm up to about episode 5
Have
now.
You gotten to the part with Spencer Haywood and the circumcision?
I have not gotten to that part yet.
Well, did you hear Petros yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, he said that he admitted to doing it.
Wow. I have not gotten to that part yet.
He did
yet.
It like when he was in his 30s. I mean, what?
All I got to say is I'm glad you gave me the right advice. I showed the first two episodes to my kids.
Yeah, forget
you
it.
You gave me the right advice not to show 3, 4, 5, and 6 to my kids.
No, 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 no. Maybe in a couple years, but not now. All right, last one. All right, go ahead.
Hey, don't do that to me. Don't give me that hand. I coach kids in peewee better than this, and I pay them in popsicle sticks, not millions of dollars.
Oh,
Kevin sounded like he was gonna cry.
Oh,
there
Lord Shockey! Good effort by Lord Shockey. I know which one I like, to be honest with you. But you guys pick. What's your favorite?
Well, I told what you like? The couple that I liked were the older gentleman, the one that was what two before Shockey there with the gravelly voice.
Okay, all right,
that was my favorite.
All right, Jackson, how about you?
I like to think it was the fourth or fifth one.
Wow, jeez. Really? Okay.
But the third listen.
I like the Lou guy.
That was so creative.
I thought he was
so creative.
Even though he didn't sound like Lou,
I thought he was. Can we hear that one again?
We can absolutely
real
do
quick.
That.
All right, hit me. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Lou Piniella. Don't give me that hand. I could get Pee Wee Kids. I could pay them in popsicles instead of you professional athletes who get paid millions of dollars.
All right, Jackson. All right, here's what you got to do.
That's the biggest laugh. The creativity alone.
You got to give it to us a favor. You got to find Dan Aykroyd, the toy salesman.
Oh, yeah.
And then play that and play Dan Aykroyd coming back in the next segment. Because he sounds exactly like that guy.
It's unbelievable. I was literally just watching that on YouTube the other day. Irwin Mainway is the guy.
Okay, Irwin Mainway.
Yeah, and he did a segment on SNL as a crazy toy manufacturer, and one of his toys was a bag of glass.
That's awesome.
Kids can play it with. It's
you'll
unbelievable. It. All right, can we give it to the Lou guy?
Sure.
Yeah, that's cool with that.
It's your taco time,
all right.
Bucks.
Yeah, you know what? It is my taco time, Bucks, so I should decide. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Lou Guy gets it. Good stuff. You ever want to communicate with us? Now I'm starting to sound like Aykroyd and not Piniella. You want to communicate with us, you can use the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app. Hit the microphone, send us a message, and then tune in to hear if you make it on the air. Headlines coming up, and then we'll get to the big news of the day with the M's, and it's Big Baby next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Hey, this is Lou Piniella. Don't give me that hand. I could get Pee Wee Kids. I could pay them in popsicles instead of you professional athletes who get paid millions of dollars.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Yeah, boy, here we go. Headlines on a Thursday night right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I feel sorry for you, Frosty.
Yeah, looking for tickets for opening day tomorrow at T-Mobile Park. VenueKings.com can get you and your loved ones in the door for $31 right now at VenueKings.com. Be sure and use code SOFTY at checkout for a little discount. All right, what do we got? Mariners win today 5-1. First time scoring more than 4 the entire year. They've snapped the 4-game losing streak. Homers from Kelnick, Haniger, Raleigh, Logan Gilbert. 5 innings, no earned, no walks, 4 Ks. M's 3-4. And they're back home tomorrow against the Astros.
The Sounders will attempt to become the first MLS team ever to win the CONCACAF Champions League. They got a 4-2 aggregate goal win over NYCFC. In the semis, they will play Liga MX Power Pumas in Mexico City on April 27th. They will be home at Lumen Field on May the 4th.
Brian Schmetzer giving a passionate pregame speech as well before yesterday's match.
We put ourselves in a very, very, very good spot. And so let's make sure we don't f*** this up.
They didn't screw it up. We know that. They didn't F it up. Baseball scoreboard around the league. Games in progress. Pirates lead the Nationals 7-4. Bottom of six from Pittsburgh. Marlins taking care of the Phillies 4-1. Bottom six. Jays, Yankees scoreless in the second. And the Bronx Rangers doubling up the Angels 4-2. Bottom second. Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Angels. Inning in two-thirds. Four earned. Four hits and a walk so far for Shohei Ohtani.
Atlanta Hawks hammered Charlotte last night, eliminating the Hornets. The Hawks will face Cleveland tomorrow in a loser-out winner-to-the-playoffs game.
And news in the NFL, Sammy Watkins, wide receiver, signs a one-year deal with the Packers. A.J. Green, wide receiver, back in Arizona on a one-year deal. And the Seahawks are bringing back Geno Smith on a one-year contract worth up to $7 million after making $1.2 million last year. All right, so we gave away $50 to Taco Time. Last segment, we asked people to recreate the famous Mike Holmgren clip that we have in the open. Do we have that clip again, by the way? Do you have access to it? Can't do it. You know what we got to do? We got to find two producers or B, give
two computers.
Give Jackson a third arm is what we have to do. One or the other.
Ooh, how much money could a third arm
like the guy from Spider-Man? What's the name again? The Otto Octavius guy, whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, I want
that on your back, and there's like squid arms coming out of your back.
Yes,
because I do ask a lot of the guy, and we do ask a lot of him.
Well,
and
we just played it last segment. What happened to him?
I don't know.
Well, because I have other three audios, and somehow that's no longer on this audition.
You see, it's excuses, really, is what it is. I'm going to change your name to Excuse Feltz. Okay. All right. Dick and Softy and Excuse Feltz here until 7 o'clock tonight on the radio show. But so we asked people to recreate the Mike Holmgren famous, we paid him in popsicles, not millions of dollars line from his open for his radio show every Thursday at 4 o'clock. And we gave the $50 to Taco Time to this guy, the Lou guy. Go ahead, please.
Hey, this is Lou Piniella. Don't give me that hand. I could get Pee Wee Kids. I could play pay them in popsicles. Instead of you professional athletes who get paid millions of dollars.
Hey, and you said he sounds like somebody.
Yep. And I couldn't place it, and you nailed it.
It's exactly Dan Aykroyd when he did the toy segment on the Consumer Report interview with Candace Bergen, and he plays Irwin Mainway from the toy company, he's selling like knives and bags of glass and plastic pills for kids to swallow. This scene right here.
Good evening, and welcome to the holiday edition of Consumer Probe. Our subject tonight is unsafe toys for children. For instance, this little bow and arrow set. Pull the rubber suction cups off, and the arrows become dangerous missiles. We have with us tonight Mr. Irwin Mainway, president of Mainway Toys. Mr. Mainway, your company manufactures the following so-called harmless playthings. Pretty Peggy ear piercing set, Mr. Skin Grafter, General Tron secret police confession kit, and Doggy Dentist. And what about this innocent rubber doll, which you market under the name Johnny Switchblade? Press his head, and two sharp knives spring from his arms. Mr. Mainway, I'm afraid this is by no means a safe toy.
Okay, I'm Mr. Summers. I want to correct you on one thing here, okay? First of all, the full name of this product, as appears in stores all over the country, is Johnny Switchblade Adventure Punk. No, I mean, nothing goes wrong. These little girls buy them, they play games, they make up stories, nobody gets hurt, So Barbie takes a knife once in a while, or Ken gets cut, there's no harm in it, as far as I can see,
I see, fine. Well, we'd like to show you another one of Mr. Mainway's products. It retails for $1.98, and it's called Bag of Glass. Mr. Mainway, this is simply a bag of jagged, dangerous glass bits.
Yeah, right. It's, it's a glass. It's a broken glass, it sells very well, as a matter of fact, It's just broken glass,
I don't understand. I mean, children could seriously cut themselves on any one of these pieces.
Yeah, well, look, a kid, the average kid, he picks up, broken glass anywhere. The beach, the street, garbage cans, parking lots, all over the place in a big city. We're just packaging what the kids want, mean, it's a creative toy. I mean, you know, you hold this up, you see colors, you know, you see all the colors of rainbows, you know. I mean, it teaches them about light refraction, prisms and that stuff, yeah, you know.
Oh, God, it's so good. There's more there, but it's so freaking good, dude.
It sounded exactly like the guy.
Oh, it's awesome. You know what we should start doing, man? We should start doing more stuff like that in this segment. Didn't we have that idea a couple months back that we were going to call this like the just throwaway segment of the day? Or what was the name we had for it? Or what? Off the Rails.
Off the Rails.
Off the Rails. And we do stuff like that, and then we can use like Twitter to accompany the audio that you hear coming over the radio on the FM dial. To give people the video of what we just saw, because that is SNL at its freaking heyday.
Absolutely.
You ever see Spies Like Us, the movie?
Yeah.
With Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase? You ever watch something, like you wake up at 3, 4 in the morning, you can't sleep, you grab your iPad, you grab your phone, you go to YouTube, you go down a rabbit hole, like the guy from Super 70 Sports, you know that dude I'm talking about on Twitter?
Yep.
He is, without a question, in my opinion, the best follow on Twitter.
So entertaining.
I think he is unbelievable. And he threw out, he sells these t-shirts, and he threw out the Michael Keaton line from Mr. Mom, where he's redoing like a wing of his house, and the guy walks over and says, oh, you putting 220 in there? And he says, oh, 220, 221, whatever it takes. And he's selling t-shirts. So I go to YouTube, and I see this clip, and then next to it was like the SNL, the Spies Like Us. I could be there for hours going down the YouTube rabbit hole. Do you guys do that stuff too? Literally?
No.
You don't do that?
Not at 3 in the morning. I try to go back to sleep at 3 in the morning.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be 3 in the morning. It could be any time of day.
Well, of course. But I mean, we'll go down rabbit holes
Wikipedia,
on Twitter all the time.
The same thing. Wikipedia all the time, dude. I could spend hours on that website.
Who doesn't go down our internet rabbit hole now and then?
Well, I feel like a complete schmuck on Wikipedia when you get to that time of the year where they put up the fundraising
thing.
I need
the $3.
And I never give them a cent. Ever. Have you guys ever done that?
No, I've never given a cent.
You've never donated money to Wikipedia?
Not to Wikipedia.
Because in our business,
we use it all the time.
Yeah, and it could be complete nonsense. Who knows if it's even truth or not, or accuracy. I did a deal with Billy D. Williams, Lando Calrissian, at Comic-Con. You know, the photo on my desk in there?
Yeah.
And I had read a thing on his Wikipedia page about him doing an Old English commercial, and I brought it up, and he said, yeah, that's not even close to accurate.
You did your research, though,
exactly,
man. He can't fault you.
I jumped on, and I did my research. Well, the Mariners won today. That's the big sports news of the day, 5-1. And I don't know, man, this Logan Gilbert guy, you know, hopefully at some point in time, Dick, the Mariners will allow this guy to be stretched out a little bit. You know, he's thrown 5 innings in his first couple of starts of the year, and he hasn't really gone much. He threw 85 today, but he's got the makings of a stud. His ERA is at 0.9 after the first 10 innings of the year. And here's the cool thing about it, man. He's starting to really get some control. He's got 11 Ks and 1 walk in the first 10 innings of this season. And I'm telling you, I think he's got the best stuff of this entire rotation right now. He may not be able to handle it all and fight through adversity the way some veterans can, like Robbie Ray. But I think Robbie Ray looks at Logan Gilbert, and I think Marco Gonzalez looks at Logan Gilbert and says, man, I would love to have that guy's stuff because it's filthy.
I'm wondering if we're going to finally get what we didn't get 10, 12 years ago with a big three Taiwan Walker, Danny Holson, and James Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
And we only got one-ish and a half, maybe, of those three.
Paxton or Taiwan?
I'd say Paxton, and then Taiwan was kind of the half. But you've got George Kirby and throwing darts in AA, who is just a whisker away from coming to the big leagues. You got Matt Brash, and you got Logan Gilbert. Now, obviously, Gilbert's the only one that's done it for any sustained period of time. But Brash and Gilbert both look like they've got what it takes to be top of the rotation type guys. And maybe you do have a big three in 2023 and beyond.
Yeah. Taiwan Walker in 67 starts with the M's went 24-24 with a 4.17 ERA. That is obviously not what any of us thought he was going to be all about when he was in the minor leagues. James Paxton, who I believe is now with the Red Sox, by the way. They gave him like $8.5 million. In 103 starts with the Mariners, Paxton went 41-26 with a 3.42 ERA, which is really good. The problem is in 7 years, he starts 100 games.
Right.
In 7 years, the guy should have started 200 games
durability
with the M's, not 100 games.
Yeah, and the talent was never the problem with James Paxton. It's just whether he could stay on the field.
Yeah. I just think that this is absolutely, for me, why the Mariners need to go out and spend some more money on this offense. And we'll talk to John Stanton tomorrow. I believe he's going to come by Jimmy's at 4:45, and we'll get his thoughts on the payroll, right? I mean, you would think that Jerry DePoto has final say on how they spend it, but, you know, I want to look John Stanton in the eye and say, hey, why are you guys the 22nd highest paid team in the league? End of story. You're in the 12th biggest market, but you're the 22nd highest paid payroll in baseball. Why is that? And why didn't you spend more money over the offseason? I mean, I'm trying to come up with a different way besides just blurting it out and saying, why didn't you spend more money? But how else do you say it? Because that's what people want to know.
That's what people want to know. I think the reason is they want to see what they have first before they do what some would consider a desperate move, and that is, you know, go fill a hole with, you hope you have a hole filled with Jared Kelenic. You hope you have a hole filled with Julio Rodriguez. Give those guys the opportunity to see whether they can fill that hole. And then if they can't, then go spend the money.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I guess I get it, but not all those guys are going to be stars, right? They're not all going to work. Right. One of them is probably going to be maybe an all-star, and the other guy is probably going to be a bum and maybe a middle-of-the-road guy, right? I mean, the odds say that all three of them are going to struggle at some point, and I just don't know why you wouldn't have gone out over the offseason and done that right away. This is nothing new. You and I have been talking about this for months now on the radio show. But I just, does he have the money available? I mean, is there a cash flow problem at T-Mobile Park? They just announced yesterday, you see what they're doing with the press box?
$55 million.
They're moving the press box behind home plate to the Terrace Club down the baseline. And I guess a lot of teams have already done this. I know a lot of football teams have done it. We were in Atlanta for the Auburn-UW game 3 or 4 years ago, and their press box is in the corner.
I thought we were in a different state.
No, it's brutal because there's no holes on the windows, so you can't even hear anything. At least some places have, you know, little holes drilled in there so you can hear the crowd. But they're going to put a press box area for fans, like another Diamond Club, and that's becoming a huge thing now, guys, in professional sports and in college sports, catering to premium seating. People that spend $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 or more a year on tickets and suites, and they'll pay, you know, $50 for a plate of nachos, you know, something they can get for $3 at AM/PM. They have no problem doing it and paying six times for a beer what something's worth at a gas station, and they're really starting to cater to people like that.
Right.
And I wonder if the average fan is starting to get priced out. It is in the NBA, I can tell you that.
Oh, no question.
Ask Petros about how they feel in L.A. at the Staples Center.
Oh, the NBA, there's no question people are getting priced out. And Major League Baseball has done the best, right? Major League Baseball has been the best of all sports, at least keeping some tickets, you know,
right,
$10 to get in for your family.
They got 81 games. They got
so many more games. But I just think there's probably two pots of revenue. There's a pot that they have that they're going to spend on players, and there's a pot they're going to spend to continue make improvements to T-Mobile Park because they know they're not going to get any more public funding, so they have to,
right,
and they
right.
can't just let the stadium, you know, just go downhill over the course of the next 20, 30 years. So what they've decided to do is every few years, instead of every 20 years putting in $300 million, they're going to put $50 million in every 3 or 4 years.
Okay, before we talk to Casey Keller, and I want to get some explanation on this, the other big story is what the Sounders did last night.
We put ourselves in a very, very, very good spot. And so let's make sure we don't this up.
They did not F it up. No, they played NYCFC, and they won, and they are now on their way to the Champions League final of the CONCACAF tournament. Every time I hear the word CONCACAF, I think of Tatanka from, what's the movie with Kevin
Dances
Costner?
With Wolves.
Dances with Wolves. Remember that? The Buffalo
that movie.
Tatanka.
Long and boring.
Buffalo. I loved it. Are you kidding me?
Just,
you didn't like Dances with Wolves?
It was...
Wow.
I feel like it's not over yet, and I started watching it in 1987.
Hey, guys, you know, we were playing that Brian Schmetzer clip.
This one right here?
We put ourselves in a very, very, very good spot, and so let's make sure we don't... this up.
Well, Brian had a little bit more potty mouth after last night's result against New York City. Would you like to hear?
Duh.
This is a massive f-ing deal for the club. Okay, it's a big deal. If we can win a Champions League, it'd be great for old guys like Freddie. It'd be good for the young guys. Okay, but it's a massive f-ing deal for this club.
Yeah!
Twice!
I love so when good. He drops the F-bomb. Can so you put good. That on my wall,
yeah,
by the way?
Of course.
I want that because we're starting to get a collection of F-bombs by Brian Schmetzer. And it kind of, we had him on the air the other day and we played that for him. And I kind of sensed that maybe he was a little annoyed that we played that. But then he goes out, he does it again.
Yeah.
He knows he's being recorded for crying out loud.
We put ourselves in a very, very, very good spot. And so let's make sure we don't this up.
He realizes he's gotten to a status level in this town where he doesn't give a bleep about what
absolutely.
He says. And what
this is a massive f-ing deal for the club.
Why is it a massive effing deal for the club? Explain it to people out there, Jackson, that don't understand.
Yeah.
Some people may not even know that they're in this tournament. Honestly, there's a lot of sports fans that maybe aren't hardcore soccer fans and have no freaking clue what the hell's going on.
Very, very simple terms here. This is a tournament to decide the best team in North and Central America. So when Sounders won MLS Cup in 2016 and 2019, they're the best team in the United States and then the MLS League, right? This is the tournament to decide the best team in your global region. So the Sounders, if they win, if they beat Pumas in a few weeks, they will be the best team in North and Central America.
Okay.
It's gigantic.
And they will get to play.
Yep.
Who would they get to play then after that?
The top teams from around the world. The best team from South America. The best team from Africa. The best team from Europe.
And that's
which
a FIFA tournament, right?
Massive. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we are talking about the best teams around the globe you are facing.
Sure. So it's not the World Cup, but there's another name.
The Champions
Club,
League. It's called Club World Cup.
Club World Cup. And it's a FIFA event.
It's kind of decide the best team in the world. Right. The Sounders would be playing.
So let me ask you this. If they win this tournament then, and they beat Puma, and they become the first MLS team to win it with this current format, then they should be able to go out and take care of the MLS Cup too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're favorites.
That would be a huge, a huge freaking downer.
What?
If they're good enough to win this, but they can't even win the MLS Cup, right?
They're favorites to win MLS Cup right now, for sure.
So if they win this, what does that do for recruiting around the world to bring players here?
A lot, because what it does is right now Mexico is a little bit higher than MLS, and you have a lot, and we'll probably hear from Casey Keller about this. Mexican teams have much, much higher payrolls.
Yeah, yeah.
But Sounders can now say, yeah, okay, you can go to a Mexican team and get paid a little more, or you can come here and win big championships. That's going to do massive things for
Freddie. We'll ask Casey Keller when he comes on next segment, but, I mean, if you want to get it done, you know, you want to beat this Puma team, there's one thing that you got to make sure you don't do. You know,
this is a massive deal for the club.
Yeah,
okay, it's a big deal.
Don't
we put ourselves
up
in a very, very, very good spot. And so let's make sure we don't f*** this up.
The first leg is on April 27th on the road in Mexico City. And the second leg is going to be on Star Wars Day on May the 4th at 7 o'clock at Lumen Field. They've already announced, I think, that the lower bowl is sold out.
Yes,
is that right?
That's
and
correct.
And the upper deck is going on sale as well. Is that true?
It's
SoundersFC.com?
Yep, SoundersFC.com/tickets. It's upper deck right now is currently on sale, and there are not many tickets left, I don't think, so get them now.
Well, I think we should be at Jimmy's on that Wednesday for that game.
Sounds good.
On May the 4th.
We should
get down there and do the show, because you would think that not only is it going to be crawling with Sounder fans, there's going to be a lot of Mexican fans too, right?
Oh,
that will
huge.
Come up. And what's the problem with those fans? They're a little bit profane, right? They tend to kind of push the envelope.
They've gotten in trouble haven't they?
Yeah. A lot of slurs, a lot of homophobic slurs, racial slurs. They've been sanctioned by I'm not kidding, by the way.
No, you're
They've
right.
Been sanctioned
now, I don't
by
know about
a lot
this
of people.
Particular club, but I know in that league there's been problems.
From what I've been told, every club has a portion of fans who just go to games to cause a problem, cause scenes, have a good time, drink, and do these sorts of nasty things.
Right.
So hopefully they do not make their way here.
Yeah, well, they probably will. Right?
Well, they'll get their ass kicked out of the stadium within like 2 minutes.
Exactly.
I've never been to, I went to the World Cup in South Africa, but, you know, that was a little bit different than this. I just think it's going to be a totally brand new experience for a lot of people that are going to that game. So I'm looking forward to it, man. This is an opportunity for the Sounders to maybe create a whole legion of fans that they otherwise did not have. So Casey Keller is going to join us next segment. We'll ask him about Stephen Fry's game last night. He was phenomenal, especially that save in the 73rd minute yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on that, this matchup with Pumas, all coming up. Casey Keller will join the radio show next on 93.3 KJR FM.